Today's Shir Masechta Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud. We will begin on Daf Kuf Yud Amar Aleph, the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Hamoytzi Shtach Choyv Al Chaveroi. A loiva, a malva comes to a loiva and says to him, here's a Shtar Choyv that indicates that you owe me money. V'aloy Hoytzi Shemach Alois Asada. And then the loiva brings out a Shtar that shows that the malva sold him property after the first loan, the loan was due, which seems to indicate that there was no loan. Because if there was a loan, why did you sell me my property? And this is the way the Rishonim help us understand the Mishnah. One of the concepts that we've been working with a lot in this Masechta is that people typically do not like to sell property. A person sells property when he's strapped for cash. So we have here a situation that the loiva owes the malva money. Why would the malva go sell a piece of property to the loiva if just because he needs money? He has a much easier way of getting the money. Collect the money that's due to him from the loiva. The fact that there is a shtar mecher dated after the halval was due, after the loan was due, is a pretty clear indication that there really was no loan. And even though the malva is holding a shtar halva, as Rashi says, the loiva can successfully, perhaps, claim that this shtar is mezuyif, it's false, or perua, it was already paid off. Otherwise, why did you take a loan? Why did you sell me property? Just pay back, get back the money that I owe you. So again, Hamaytzi shtachoy v'chaveroi, v'aloi hoytzi shemachalai sasada, adnan oimer yachul sha'oimer, the loiva could say, ilu hayisi chayiv lach, if I indeed owe you money, haylach lefraya shalcha, shemachatali sasada. Instead of selling me the field, you should have just collected the loan, and that's how you would have received available cash. V'cham oimer, cham say, the fact that he sold me the property, that the malva sold the loiva the property, is not an indication that there really was no havah. Zaya pekeach, shemachla is a karka, neshiyach lemashkanai. He specifically sold him the property. Why did he specifically sell him the property? Because when you come to collect the halvah, there's always a problem that the person you want to collect the halvah from, if he has cash, can hide the cash and say, I don't have any money available. Property cannot be hidden. So the malva was very smart. He knew that the loiva who he is working with is the type of individual that could claim I have nothing. But that he only could claim on money, on cash. He can't claim it on property. So he specially sold him a piece of property so that when he's going to come collect his loan and he says, I don't have any cash available, I said, fine, don't give me the cash, but I know you have a piece of property. How do I know you have a piece of property? I'm the one that sold it to you. And give me back my property as a payment of the due loan. And therefore, the fact that there's a sale after the loan taking place is not in any way an indication that the loan is not true. The Mefarshim, Rashi, the Rishonim, and the Pnei Yeshua discuss, at the end of the day, the malva is holding on to a shtar. So what happens to that shtar that clearly indicates that the loiva owes him money? So say that he claims that it was paid. Another claim is that it's mezuyif, that it's false. But the Pnei Yeshua goes on to explain, to say that a shtar is mezuyif is only possible either if the shtar was not mekuyim, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, it wasn't certified, or, says the Pnei Yeshua, very bechiddish, even if it was certified. But if you recall, when we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, there are various methods that the Gemara taught us how keem shtars could be done. One method is that the Edom come and say this is their signature. Another way is that the Edom don't actually show up, but we compare signatures. We have another document with the same Edom sign, and we say that the signatures match up. Says the Pnei Yeshua that although that is a legitimate method of accomplishing Kiyam, here where, according to Admon, the loiva has a serious claim when he says that that this shtar is false, since the kiyum was only done in this weaker method of kiyum, the shtar could be disqualified. Ask the Gemara, My Talmud Rabbanan, Shapu Kama Admin. Isn't Admin Svara, asked the Gemara, a great Svara? Why would I sell you property if you owe me money? And just give me the money and I don't have to sell any property. And the Rishonim make a point. This entire discussion is only in a piece of property that a Malva or anyone would not normally want to sell. But let's say the Malva is holding on to a piece of property which is highly undesirable. And he sells the property because he's lucky to find a customer, then certainly Admin's claim is not a good claim. I could say, you know why I sold the property? Because I was lucky to find a customer. Here we're referring to this typical property, which is not something somebody wants to sell. So why is the fact that the property was sold not a proof that there is no Hava? Answers the Gemara. Bas for the Yavi Zuzi, Fahadish, Kasvishtari, Kulam Lai Pligi, the Matzam Lai Ela Hayla Frak, Lishcha, Shemechatelis Asadim. There are two ways how the actual transaction of a sale of property could take place. One is, the first money is exchanged, and after the money is exchanged, the property, the deed is given over. In that case, says the Gemara, Admin is certainly correct. Because when the Laiva gave the Malva money, with the understanding that he's giving it to him to pay for the property, that what the Malva should have done, is say, I'm keeping the money, but I'm not giving you the property. I'm keeping the money to pay off the loan. The fact that he gave him a deed is a proof that there was no halva. Keep pligi. What is the shail of our Mishnah? The shail of our Mishnah, the situation of our Mishnah, is the asra the sivi shtara for hadu yavizuzi. First, the deed has to be turned over. Only after that is the money turned over. Admin sover. So admin's logic now is a little difficult to understand. Because what is Admin saying? Admin saying is, why did you sell the property? Just you should have taken the money. He didn't get money. First, the deed has to be transferred. So Admin says, yes, I had no option, but I should have made a Midah and tell everybody that even though I'm selling property, don't have a question about the loan. The loan is still a good loan. Why didn't he make that acknowledgement? Obviously, because the loan is not a real loan. Rabban and Savri, people don't want to make those kind of announcements because chaver chaver islay, and I don't want that should get back. The Malva doesn't want that should get back to the Laiva. So Taisus asks a very obvious question. Yesterday we had the exact same Gemara, where the Gemara said that Iboilim and Mimsa Medah. There was a situation where I bought a field from you, and the deed indicates that the property is next to a piece of property that I'm claiming you don't own. So the fact that I bought it is not a proof that I admit it, because that's the only way I could have gotten the piece of property that I'm interested in buying. The Gemara asked, I should have told people you should know I'm protesting. So Gemara says, people don't protest because Chavre Chavre Islay. There nobody disagreed this concept. Today we find a machloikus on the concept of Chavre Chavre Islay. Why is there a difference that yesterday everybody agreed to this concept and today it's a machloikus? So Rishonim give a number of answers. One answer is a very nice answer. In the previous Gemara we were referring to a case where I'm buying a piece of property. As I said a minute ago, it's a seller's market. It's always easier to sell property than to buy property. If I'm going to make announcements that there's a problem with this deed, what is going to happen? The seller is going to say, I have plenty of other customers. I'm not selling to you. So I'm left without the property. So that's why I couldn't be Maisa Maidah. In our Gemara, the person who's making the announcement is the Malva. He has nothing to lose. He's the seller of the property. He has nothing to lose by making this announcement. And that's why Admin says there's no excuse not to make the announcement. That's one teretz. Another teretz is also very nice, simple teretz. In the previous Gemara, what would have been the protest? What would have been the announcement I would have had to make? That the person on the field is a gazlan. He stole the field. It's not his. Those are very strong words. And I have to be concerned that if the person hears, that's what I'm saying about him, he'll take great exception. Here, all he's saying is that the loan is still a real loan. There's nothing embarrassing, there's nothing insulting about saying that, and that's why Admin says he should have been Maisa Maidah. Says the Mishnah further, Shnayim Shaytziyu Shtachayv Ze'al Ze'. Reuven owes Shimon money, Shimon owes Ruvain money. Abman Omer, Ilo Hayisa Chayavloch, Keitza Ata Lovimimimeni. So again, Abman says that the second loan proves that there is no first loan. Because again, let's understand the situation. Ruvain owes Shimon money. Fine. Now Shimon comes and borrows money from Ruvain. Why should Shimon borrow money from Ruvain? Shouldn't he just collect his debt? The fact that he has to borrow money from Ruvain is a proof, says Admon, that there really is no debt that Ruvain owes Shimon money. And that's why Shimon has to borrow. He can't just collect his money. We'll understand in the Gemara, in Mitzvah Hashem, what the Chachamim say. Itma. Shnayim shaytziu shtachoyv zel zeh. The situation that we're referring to, Ruvain has a document that Shimon owes him money, and Shimon has a document that Ruvain owes him money. Rav Nachman is zegoyver, zegoyver. So Nachman says both documents are considered valid documents. And as the Rishonim explain, either because Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes, who we're going to see in a moment, agree with the opinion of the Chachamim of the Mishnah, or because in a case where both parties agree that both shtaris are valid shtaris, there's no need for machlokes for admin chachamim. And there, Rav Nachman is referring to a situation where there's no dispute. Both of them are agreeing that these are good shtaris. Rav Sheshes Amar, hafuchim et rosa lamali. Why would we switch bags? And what does hafuchim et rosa lamali mean? If somebody's carrying two bags, all things being equal about both bags, he's carrying one bag on his right shoulder and one bag on his left shoulder. He has no purpose in switching these bags from one shoulder to the other. They're identical. Similarly here, says Rav Sheshes, we have these two documents. They're obviously the same amount of money. Zemah b'shaloi v'zemah b'shaloi. I keep mine, you keep yours, and there's no need to collect any money. So before we go further in the Gemara, we just have to say a word of introduction. We know that the Gemara says in Masechta Baba Kama that if somebody is mazik, somebody causes damage to someone else, and he pays with property, he has to pay with ijis, the best property. If somebody lent money to someone else, and I'm repaying a debt, sumida raisa, as we'll see later in the Amid, I could pay even with zaburius, the poorest quality property. Chazal said that he should pay with beninus, average type of property. If I lend money and I'm only going to get back payment, poor quality property, I'm never going to want to lend money. And therefore, Chazal said pay with beninus. But as we're going to learn now in the Gemara, these categories, ijus, beninus, aburius, we need to understand how do we identify a piece of property having one of those grades. There are two ways of identifying it. It can be identified as a grade, just like we find many items in life are graded, better quality, poorer quality. Ijus is the properties that are graded as ijus. There are properties that are marked beninus. There are properties that are identified as ziburius. But then there's another way of identifying it. It's relative to me. My best property is ijus. My average property is beninus. My poorest property is zaburius. That becomes extremely relative. What may be zaburius by me may be ijus by you. What may be ijus by me may be zaburius by you. Says the Gemara, this concept that we just now explained is the basis of the machloikis between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. And the Gemara explains. The Kula Alma, says the Gemara, everybody agrees that when Ruvain owes Shimon money, and Shimon owes Ruvain money, and both of them have identical properties, both of them have the same ijus, or is ijus for ijus, both of them have the same beninus, or zaburius for zaburius, vade hafuchim mitarasa hu. There's no point. What are we going to accomplish? That I'll give you my ijus and you'll give me back your ijus? Or by the same beninus? What's the point? Ki pligi, when is the machloikus or Rav Nachman of Sheshes relevant? This le lechad beninus, lechad zaburius. I have a beninus piece of property, and you have a zaburius piece of property. Rav Nachman sova, zeh goyver, zeh goyver. Rav Nachman says we exchange properties. Because according to Rav Nachman, how do we identify property as being ijus, beninus, zaburius? Sova, he holds, b'shaloi hin shaman. It has nothing to do with the rest of the world. My best is ijus, my average is beninus, my worst is zaburius. So what happens here? Ruvain owes Shimon money. Shimon only has a piece of Zeburiah's property. Reuven has Benin's property. Osi Baal Zeburiah's for Gavalel Benin's. He collects the Benin's property as Daloch is. He's entitled to Benin's, as we said. Davagabe Idjis. But now, what two pieces of property does Reuven have? He has his Zeburiah's property that he always had, and the Benin's property that he got from me. Daloch is, if he only owns two pieces of property, he gives the weaker piece of property. So now what does he give me back? Vasahu, the Shokel Zeburiah's. So that's why it's worse for Zegoyva, Zegoyva. Because one party is now going to end up with a Beninus property, and the other party is going to end up with a Zeburiah's property. So the party that ends up with the Beninus property in the place that he had previously only Zeburiah's property, it's worth it for him, Zegoyva, Zegoyva. Rav Sheshis disagrees. He says, Hafuchi mitarasa lamali. It doesn't pay to do this. Why? Because he says, Ksav v'shekel adam kein shaman. Idyas Zeburiah's is not subjective to the owner. It's grade. So what's going to happen? I'm going to give this person my Beninus. And then when I collect back the money he owes to me, I'm going to get back my same Beninus. So there's no point in it. Soif, Kirasu Beninus to Nafshika Shakal. He takes back my Beninus. Ask the Gemara, and according to Rav Nachman, doesn't make sense. Ask the Gemara. Oh, Rav Nachman. Well, how do we say it works according to Rav Nachman? That the person who owns Zeburiah's is the first to collect. Dasi Baal Zeburiah's Bereisha, and he collects my Beninus, and in return, he only gives me Zeburiah's. Who says we have to follow that order? Leisei Baal Beninus Bereisha. Why don't we follow a different order? That I, the owner of Beninus, collect from him his Zeburiah's. Leisei Baal Beninus Bereisha V'ligva Zeburiah's, collects the Zeburiah's, and then give him back his Zeburiah's. V'lidah, v'ligva nele, give him back his Zeburiah's. So even according to Rav Nachman, what's the point? Answers the Gemara, L'tzricha d'kodem tave. We're referring to a situation that the Baal Zeburiah's came to the shir, came to learn by us today, and he knew it's smart for him to make the first move. Ask the Gemara, k'soif soif ki osu l'migbi ba'dodi kok osi. So as Tosfos explains the Gemara, yes, important halacha. The halacha is first come, first served. So if I owe you money and you owe me money, if I owe money and you owe money, whoever comes first, that's the first in Torah the Bezdin looks at. But here Bezdin certainly has to look at the whole picture. And the whole picture is that I owe you and you owe me. So we can't just say because you came first, you're going to get the Beninus from me. Bezdin looks at the entire picture. And therefore they should say, I'll get the Zeburiah's and give it back to you. So why does Rav Nachman say Zeh Goyva Zeh Goyva? Says the Gemara, Rav Nachman is referring to a situation, this le'lechad Idyas Beninus. I only own Idyas and Beninus property. You only own Zeburiah's property. This le'lechad Zeburiah's. Ma'asavus, according to Rav Nachman, b'shalohi shaman. We follow what's by me the best and the worst. And what will I give you? I'll give you the Beninus. Now, you own Beninus and Zeburiah's, and you'll give me back Zeburiah's. So that's why Zeh Goyva, Zeh Goyva. You end up with Beninus, I end up with Zeburiah's. However, if Sheshis is of the opinion, Ma'a Sava, B'shakal Adam Hein Shamim, and there's no point, I'm just going to transfer back and forth the Beninus, which is Hafuchi Mitarasa. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, the Chom Oimrim, Zeh Zeh Goyva. The way we just explained, Rav Nachman's opinion is consistent with the Chachamim and our Mishnah, where we go through each party collecting and paying. But according to Rav Sheshis, who says the concept of Haftuchi mitarasa lamali, how will he be able to reconcile what the Mishnah says that according to Chachamim, Zegayva, Zegayva? According to Chachamim, we each just remain with what we have and we rip up our shtaris. Answers the Gemara, Tergma Rav Nachman alivid Rav Sheshis, Kigan shalavel zela esa v'zela chamish. The cases that we've been discussing are the two debts are due on the same day. Says the Gemara, that's not the case. One debt is much longer term than the other. One is 10 years and one is 5 years. And the Gemara explains, Hey Chidami, Ilem L'Rishon L'Eser V'Sheni L'Chamish. I first borrowed money from you for 10 years. Now you borrowed money from me for 5 years. So ask the Gemara, Baholem the Admin, Ila Yisachayavulcha, Keita Atulavim money. How does Admin's words make any sense? What did Admin say? That instead of you borrowing money from me, you should have just collected the debt that I owe you. You know why you didn't collect the debt? It wasn't due yet. Keita Atulavim money, Haloy Matas money. The time for the debt didn't come. Ella, it must be Rishon L'Chamish, V'Sheni L'Esser. The first debt was 5 years. First, I borrowed money from you for 5 years, and now you borrowed money from me for 10 years. As again, Hechitami, either Matizamne, if the time that you could collect the money that I owe you came, so indeed, my time is Rabbanan. Instead of borrowing money from me, you should have just collected the debt that I already owe you. On the other hand, V'Deloy Matizamne, if the time for the debt payment didn't come, so Haloy Matizamne, or my time is Admin. The question is very simple. Yes, I owe you money, but the time for payment didn't come. And today you need cash. You can't ask me to pay back the loan. It's not yet due. So what? And you need cash, so you come over to me and ask me, can I lend you some money? So why would Admin say that the fact that you borrowed money from me is an indication that the first debt is not true? Answers the Gemara. So the Gemara comes up with one specific situation. I borrowed money from you
for 5 years.
And again, these numbers are not dafka. I borrowed money from you for 5 years. Today is the day, is the fifth year. So when do I have to pay you? Tomorrow. So here we have the machloikas. Mas ovid ovid inish the yosef liyomi. Yes, if you'll wait to tomorrow, you won't have to borrow money from me. You'll be able to collect the money I owe you. But you need the money today. And the Rabbanan say, if you need the money today, you borrow it today. The fact that tomorrow you could collect the debt, that doesn't help. You need the money today. Or Ma'asava, however, Admin holds, Le'ovet Inish, the Yosef Le'yomei. A person doesn't do that. Admin holds that if you need money today, and tomorrow you're expecting a check, you're going to do something to avoid borrowing money, because people typically don't want to borrow money. The fact that you borrowed money when the due date was today and you needed it today and you could have waited till tomorrow is a proof that there really was no loan. Rambam Bachama has a whole different explanation of the Mishnah. Just a word of introduction to understanding Rambam Bachama. Although we said earlier that debts are typically paid with Beinonis, the special gzeir of Chazal, Kadesh Laitinal Dalas Bafnei Lovin, by Yisoymim, Chazal did not make that rule. Yisoymim only have to pay Zaborius. That's one din. And then there's another din. The other din that Chazal said is that if someone passes away and he left money, he owed money when he passed away. So if he left property, so the Yisoymim have to pay off their father's debt. But if he didn't leave any property, he only left metaltlin, the Yisoyim don't have to pay off that debt. And says the Gemara, Rabbi Bachama wants to explain the Mishnah based on this understanding. Hochma v'yasmi eskinen. Our Mishnah is referring to Yisoyim. The Yasmi, migve gavye, if money was owed to their father, they always have a right to collect those debts. Agvuya loig magvina minei. But people collecting from them isn't always the case. And therefore, that's the case of our Mishnah. One person is a Yosim, so he's able to collect the debt. The other one is not a Yosim, and the Yosim only have a Tatlin, so he doesn't get collect. Ask the Gemara, but that's not what the Mishnah said. And the way we're explaining it, it should be one collects, the Yosim collect, and the other one doesn't collect. So the wording of the Mishnah is incorrect. Says the Gemara, the way to understand the Mishnah is Zeh Goyva, the Yisoyim collect, the Zeh Royal Ligvois. The other party has a document to collect, but he doesn't actually able to collect with it. Amarava, Zeh Royal Ligvois, he has a document that indicates that the Yisoyim own money, vainly, but he can't collect. Amarava, so Rava says, Chei Chus Bedover. I have two problems with explaining the Mishnah this way. Chodah, number one, that's not what the Mishnah says. Chodah, the Zez, Gaiv, Zez, Gaiv, Ktani. Let's look at the wording of the Mishnah. The wording of the Mishnah is, that both of them could collect. Void, furthermore, Lugvino La'ara Liyasmi, why isn't this party smart? Yes, the halach is that if your son only have metatlin, they don't have to pay off their father's debt. But what this person should do is he should be a smart person. He'll say to them, you know what? I owed your father money. I'm paying you with a piece of property. Lugvina ara liyasmi. Now that your son have property. Once they have property, laheda lugvina minayu. Now he has a way of collecting his debt. Because property that the Yisraelim have because of their father is due for chayvus. And that's what Rav Nachman said. Then Rav Nachman on Rav Avua, Yisraelim should go v'kak b'chayvus avim. If Yisraelim were able to collect property because of a debt that was owed to their father, now they are people with property, and b'chayv, chayv v'gayvus man. Kasha. So that can't be pshat. Says the Gemara, v'lukma, why can't we explain the Mishnah the following way? This lately asked me Zaburius. The Yisraim only owns, the Yisraim have Zaburius. This later day, and the other party has Igis and Bainus. The Asli asked me, when the Yisraim collect the debt that was owed to their father, they're no different than anybody who collects a debt. What do they collect? They collect Bainus. Or Magdalay, but the other party collects and returns Zaburius. So, it pays for the Yisraim to Zegoiva Zegoiva. Because they'll end up with Bainus. And the other individual will only end up with Zaburius. Answers the Gemara, Hani Mili, because the halach is, again, this little Yasmi Zaburius, this little day Idi Sabonis, the Asli Yasmi Gova Bainanis, or Magdalay, they'll get Bainanis, and they'll pay out Zaburius. Din Nami, called Shalodim Kain Shamim, even if we follow Rav Nachman's opinion that we look at what's my Yidus, what's my Bainus, what's my Zaburius, and from the Yisraim of Zaburius. A debtor could only collect from Yisraim of Zaburius. Answers the Gemara, Hanimi Lehech Delay Tafas. Lehech the Tafas Tafas. Yes. Typically, Yisraim who are paying off debts of their fathers only have to give Zaburius. However, if the other side got Bainus, seized Bainus, it's fine. In this case, he already has the Bainanus. And the question is, does he have to give it to the Yisraimim and then get back only Zaburius? That's certainly a case of Tfisa, and there's no point in going through this exercise. He'll hold on to the Bainanus, and they should hold on to the Zaburius, and therefore this cannot be the explanation of Zegoiva v'Zegoiva. Says the Mishnah, Shalosh Artus L'Nasun. There are three different provinces in Eretz Yisrael regarding marriages. Yehuda v'Evar Yadin v'Agolo. And it's interesting to point out that Tosfos Yontif asks that Yehud and Golo are Eretz Yisrael proper. Eivar Yarden we know is the West Bank. So the question asked the Tosfos Yontif is shouldn't the Eivar Yarden be said either before Yehud and Golo or after Yehud and Golo? Yehud and Golo are right next to each other. Answer the Tosfos Yontif, the Mishnah is trying to teach us that Eivar Yarden is considered Eretz Yisrael proper. Eimach simi ear li'ir umikrach l'krach. You can't force a person, when a husband and wife get married, a husband cannot demand that the wife go from one province to another province, even if it's in the same, even if they're going to still live in ear, in both times in an ear or both times in a krach. Just for definition purposes. An ear is a smaller city, a krach is a metropolis. And the Mishnah is teaching us, a husband cannot demand his wife to move from ear to ear, to krach to krach. And the Rishonim qualified the din of the Mishnah. And they say the following. Certainly when a husband and wife got married with certain intentions, and they made up they're going to live in a certain place, and that was what they disagreed, the din of the Mishnah don't apply. Moreover, say the Rishonim, that if they got married, and the husband's from one place, and the wife's from another place, the wife has to go live where the husband comes from, because typically that's where the husband has a way to earn a living. Here we're now referring to those situations, and our Mishnah says, "Emetzimi eli ir mekrach lekrach." Avul oisaretz, the chas and akala, both from Yehuda, both from Golo, and they want to go there. He could force her to go mi'ir li'ir mekrach lekrach. Avul loy mi'ir lekrach, he cannot force her to go from a big city, from a small city to a big city. The Gemara will explain why. V'loy mikrach li'ir, not from a big city to a small city. However, says the Tanakhama, Mitzim and Neveh Yofa Mreha Ra Neveh Yofa. A chassan can demand of his kala to move from a bad neighborhood to a good neighborhood. Avil Neumene Yofa Neveh Ra. Not from a bad, good neighborhood to a bad neighborhood. How do we define a good neighborhood and bad neighborhood? There's a lot of different concepts that the Mefarshim discuss. One is the availability of food. One is the quality of life. Rishim Gamliel Aymer, Af Loibin Neveh Ra Neveh Yofa. Even you cannot demand that a woman move from a poor neighborhood to a good neighborhood. What this means, we'll see in a Gemara. Bishlam Krachli Ir. We can understand why a person cannot demand that his wife move from a big city to a small city. The Krach Shrichi Kamili. In a big city, everything is available. Beir Lo Shrichi Kamili. In a small city, not everything is available. And therefore, a person doesn't want to move, could not demand that his wife move from a krach to ear. Why should a husband not be able to demand of his wife that she move from a small city to a big city? And we're learning now that everything's available in a big city. Why can't he demand that she move this? Mesaila Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, the Amr Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Minayin Sheyeshivas Krachim Kasha. How do we know that living in a big city is difficult? Because the pasuk says in Nehemiah, "Vivarcho am l'kol ha'anoshim hamisnadvim l'vashavas b'Yerushalayim." The people who agreed to live in Yerushalayim got a special bracha. Why? Because Yerushalayim was a big city. There's a lot of congestion. There isn't that much free open space, and not everybody wants to live that way. And that's why the Mishnah says, just like you can't demand that your wife move from a krach to an ear, you cannot demand that she move from an ear to a krach. Rav Shimon Gamliel, however, the Tanakhama said that from a bad neighbor to a good neighbor, Neveh Ra Lemei Yofa, that's a legitimate demand. Rav Shimon Gamliel says you can't even force her to move from Neveh Ra Lemei Yofa, which is difficult to understand. So he said the words, Sheneveh HaYofa Baidik. What does that mean? My Baidik, Kreshmul. As Shmuel taught us, Dama Shmuel, Shine Veset Tchilas Chayel Ma'ayim. A person, when they change their lifestyle, even if they're moving to a better neighborhood, it's difficult for the body to be able to deal with that. And that's why, even though they're moving Mneveh HaRol and Mneveh HaYofa, it's not something that they want to do. And the Gemara says, Kasa B'Seifa Ben Sira. Ben Sira was a Chacham. There are many Mepharshim that say that Ben Sira was actually a Rasha. But the Mepharshim say there are in this Ben Sira, in the Sefer that he wrote, a lot of Divrei Chachma. And the Divrei Chachma, the Gemara quotes. The Pasuk says, Mishlei, Kol Yimei Ani Royim. All the days of a poor person are bad. Ask them Avika Shabbos V'yontif. Shabbos V'yontif, they made sure that even the poorest person should have what to eat. So Shabbos and Yontif aren't bad days for him. So the Mark of Shmuel, the Mishmuel, Shini Veset, Tchilas Chayle Me'ayim. A poor person doesn't have good food all week. Come Shabbos, he gets good food, but he can't absorb it. His body's not accustomed to it. So that's why it's never good. And that's the same concept of why a woman could refuse to move Menevei Arol and Me'ay Yofa. Ben Seir Omer, Af Leilois, even the nights of a poor person, when you don't eat anyway, are not good. V'shval gagim gagoy, u'b'meroim horim karmoy. And the Gemara explains, m'mater gaga l'gagoy. Typically, a wealthy person lives in a mansion, very high ceilings. A poor person lives in a hut, low ceilings. So if you live in a room with a high ceiling, and it rains at night on your roof, you don't hear. If you live in a room with a low ceiling and it rains at night, you hear all the dripping. That's mata gagim lagagoy. Your roof hears all the rain dripping down. Again, what is pshat? Typically, property, fields that are used for planting that are in the valley are more valuable than fields on top of the mountain. A poor person cannot afford to buy property in the valley. So he buys property on the top of the mountain. Then he fertilizes it. And then if it's a windy day or windy night, what happens? Or the wind comes and blows the fertilizer. And where does it blow it? It blows it down to the valley. So that's what the Gemara says. Afa Karmai, he fertilized his field and goes lekarmai. It goes to the vineyard of the wealthy person. It's interesting to note there's a machlokes rishonim. Our Gemara is quite limiting in the circumstances when a husband can force his wife to move to another neighborhood. However, the Truma Sadashin says that if a husband says that in the neighborhood that we're living, I can't find a job, and I have a job opportunity in another neighborhood, then he could force his wife to move there. Beis Yosef disagrees. Beis Yosef says the wife could say, I'm not prepared to move, even though you don't have a job here and you have a job there. The Prisha, interestingly, says that even though the Beis Yosef says that a husband cannot force a wife to move for his job opportunity, however, says the Prisha, that if there's a problem of shalom bayis, there's no income in the house, and it's affecting the marriage, and by moving to a place where he will have a job, the shalom bayis will be improved, even the Beis Yosef agrees that under those circumstances, the husband can force the wife to move to a place that he'll have a good job. Says the Mishnah, Hakam Alam, Laretz Yisrael. Everybody, a husband and a wife, can force each other and the rest of the family, as we'll learn in the Mishnah, to go move in Eretz Yisrael. However, you can't force to leave Israel. Hakamalim Yerushalayim, you can force everybody to live in Yerushalayim, but you can't force somebody to leave Yerushalayim. Echad Anoshim ve'echad Anoshim, both men or women. Nosa Isha Eretz Yisrael. The Mar goes off to another subject. Nosa Isha Eretz Yisrael. A person got married in Eretz Yisrael, the Girish Eretz Yisrael, and the divorce was in Eretz Yisrael. Nice Lama Mars Eretz Yisrael. We know, as we said many times, in the times of Chazal, currency wasn't just measured by value, that a dollar is worth 100 pennies. Currency was valued by the actual currencies. And there's some currencies that had more metal. The money of Eretz Yisrael was a particularly poor currency. The money of Kaputkia was a good currency. So says the Mishnah, Nosi Isha Eretz Yisrael, Girish Eretz Yisrael. They got married in Eretz Yisrael and divorced in Eretz Yisrael, and now he has to pay the ksuba. Nosi Lama Mars Eretz Yisrael. He pays off with Israeli currency. Nosi Isha Eretz Yisrael. They got married in Eretz Yisrael. However, the divorce was a kaputkia. Nosi Lama Mars Eretz Yisrael. Or vice versa. Nosi Isha Kaputkia. They got married in Kaputkia. Girish Eretz Yisrael. But the divorce was in Eretz Yisrael. Again, the halacha is Nosi Lama Mars Eretz Yisrael. They could always give the weaker currency. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Nosi Lama Mars Kaputkia. Shimon Gamliel disagrees, and he says you give the Mars Kaputkia. Nosi Isha Kaputkia. However, in a case where they got married in Kaputkia, and also Gerush Kaputkia, there even the Tanakhama agrees, since the marriage and the divorce took place in Kaputkia, Nosi Lama Mars Kaputkia, you have to give the better currency of Kaputkia. So the first words of the Mishnah were, Hakamalan. Everybody could be forced to move to Eretz Yisrael. Lasuya mai, lasuya avodim. Rashi says it means Eved Ivri. That if somebody owns an Eved Ivri and he's moving to Eretz Yisrael, he could force his Eved Ivri to come along with him. Ask the Gemara. Laman de Tani avodim behedya lasuya mai. There was a version of the Mishnah that had avodim in the Mishnah. So that's not what the Mishnah's come to teach us with Hakamalan. What's it come to teach us? Lasuya meneha yofleveya ro. I was living in Chutz Laaretz, in a beautiful neighborhood. I could force my family to move with me to Israel, even to a poor neighborhood. Then I called Matzin L'Suya Mai, L'Suya Eved Shebarach M'Chutz Laaretz L'Aretz. I live in Chutz Laaretz. I have an Eved Kanani that I owned in Chutz Laaretz. And now this Eved Kanani ran away to Eretz Yisrael. D'amin elei zavnei hocha v'zil. The Eved Kanani could tell me, sell me, I want to remain in Israel, sell me, or as the Rishonim say, if I can't find a good customer, I'll buy you out and I'll owe you the money, or because of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. And here, the Rishonim begin to discuss the subject, which will be relevant for the rest, for today's Shem, for tomorrow's Shem, Mitzvah Shem, about Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Is Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael a mitzvah? The Ramban says that Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't include the mitzvah of Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael in
the Sefer HaMitzvahs as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. There's a Machloikas, there are other Rishonim that say that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not a mitzvah on its own right. It's only a mitzvah in order to be able to be Mekayim, the mitzvahs that one can be Mekayim in Eretz Yisrael, or it's only a way of showing our love to Eretz Yisrael. So in other words, there's a wide array of shitas, from saying it's a mitzvah to not a mitzvah, or just a way of being Mekayim a mitzvah. There's an interesting Tosfos. The Tosfos says, quotes Rabbeinu Chaim, that says that nowadays there's no mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. He says, since living in Eretz Yisrael, when you live in Eretz Yisrael, you have to do mitzvahs at tluyos paaretz, and people aren't that careful, so all they'll do is they'll bring punishment on them, and therefore, we don't have to live in Eretz Yisrael. It's maybe too difficult to live in Eretz Yisrael. Continues the Mishnah. Gemara. Hakamal Yerushalayim v'suyamai. Why do you have to live in Yerushalayim? V'suyam in Nevea, Yofel in Nevea, Raw. That if somebody was living in Eretz Yisrael in a nice neighborhood, and he wants to move to not nice neighbor, not such a nice neighbor in Yerushalayim, we could force his family to do that. Then it called Mitzin l'suyamai. V'suyam afil in Nevea, Raw, in Nevea, Yofel. In Yerushalayim, I'm not living in such a nice home, such a nice neighborhood. And I have an opportunity to leave Yerushalayim and live in another neighborhood in Eretz Yisrael, which is nicer. V'adit ton resha emetzin, just like in the resha we said, that you don't leave, ton enayim sefer emetzin, even though there's really no chiddush. Because if the halacha is that if you're living in a nice neighborhood, you can move to Yerushalayim to live in a not nice neighborhood, certainly if you're there, you don't have to move out from a bad neighborhood to go to a good neighborhood. The only reason the Mishnah repeats it is to remain consistent in its terminology. And the Pais can discuss, if Yerushalayim is so important to live in, why do we find over the generations so many Gedolei Yisrael didn't live in Yerushalayim? And actually the Chasam Sofer says that perhaps the reason there was once a terrible earthquake, in Tzfas. He says the reason perhaps that happened was because people lived in Tzfas, Gedolei Yisrael preferred to live in Tzfas over Yerushalayim, and that's perhaps why there was an earthquake. But he says that certainly, if it's a situation where most of the Gedolim, or where Torah could be learned better, mitzvahs could be performed better outside Yerushalayim, one may live outside of Yerushalayim. Another pshat that I saw from the Paiskim is that sometimes living in Yerushalayim causes shailas that are difficult. There's a shaila, if you could build a mizbeach nowadays and bring a Karman Pesach, it would only be relevant to somebody living in Yerushalayim, so maybe easier to live outside Yerushalayim and avoid certain shailas. Tanabon. Who I'm a lalas, he wants to move to Israel, but here I'm a shalalas, she doesn't want to. Kaifan I say lalas, we force her to move. Vimlav, tetzalay ksuba. And if she refuses, he could divorce without paying off a ksuba. He I marries lalas, she wants to move to Israel, but who I'm a shalalas, and he refuses. Kaifan I say lalas, we force him to move. Vimlav, and if he refuses, yoitzav yitin ksuba. He I marries lotzes. She wants to leave Israel, and he doesn't want to. We tell her she may not. And she insists, who I'm a lotzes. He wants to leave Israel, and she doesn't want to. We force him not to leave, and if he does leave, then the Gemara said, Nosi Isha, depends what currency is paid for the ksuba. Ask the Gemara, her gufa kashi. It said in our Mishnah, Nosi Isha Beretz Yisrael v'Girsha b'Kaput Gyor, they got married in Israel, and the divorce was Kaput Gyor, the loch is Nosi Lai Moes Eretz Yisrael. Alma, Basa Shibudas Lim, we look at the place where they got married. Aim is safe, but let's continue learning our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Nosi Isha b'Kaput Gyor, they got married in Kaput Gyor, v'Girsha b'Eretz Yisrael, but they got divorced in Eretz Yisrael, v'Ira loch is Nosi Lai Moes Eretz Yisrael. Alma, Basa Gavainu is leaning. We go after where the ksuba is actually going to be paid. Amarava responds Rava, Bekulei Ksuba Shanakan. Our Mishnah is teaching us that Ksuba is only Midrabanan, Ksava Ksuba Midrabanan, and therefore we always pay, either we go after the place where they got married, or they go after the place where they're paying, whichever causes a kula. Rishim Gamliel, however, holds that he gives Mas Kaputka, because Rishim Gamliel says the Gemara is the Mandama holds Ksuba Deraisa. Tan Rabban. If I take out a shtar chayv that you owe me money, and kosba v'bavel, if the shtar was written in bavel, magbeu mos v'bavel. If the shtar says explicitly that the shtar was written in bavel, you have to pay me with bavel currency.
kosher by Eretz Yisrael. If it was written, if the shtar says it was written in Eretz Yisrael, Mabim Emar said, so you pay me Eretz Yisrael the good currency. Kosher by stam, if it doesn't say where it was written, and from here the Rishonim say that a shtar halva is kosher, even if it doesn't say where it was written. If it's being collected in Bavel, Magbim Mimos Bavel, he has to pay Bavel money. Hatsir Be'et Yisrael, if he's paying in Et Yisrael, Magbim Mimos Et Yisrael. Kosubot Kesef Stam, if it just says pay, doesn't say anything more than that, Mash Yitzel Loiva Mabeyu, then the Loiva can pay him with any currency he wants. Mash Enkem B'Ksuba. What does it mean, Mash Enkem B'Ksuba? It says, Demar, Amar Rav Sheshet Ha'Reisha. Afukim Rav Shem Gamliel, Dom Ksuba Deraisa. Koin Shem Gamliel, Ksuba Deraisa, you always pay the better currency. Here, we're disagreeing, and we follow the place where it's actually being, where it was written in the shtar. Kosba Kesef Stam, Mash Yitzel Loiva Magbeya. Then the Loiva could pay whatever he wants. Ask the Gemara of Eman Nascha. Maybe he could just give bars of silver. He doesn't even have to give coins. Amar Blaza, the Ksiba Mateya. The words coined do appear in the Ksuba, so he has to give some sort of coin. Ve'ema Priti, maybe he could just pay Prutus, which is a very cheap coin. Amar Papa Priti, the cosplay of it in Shi. It says silver, and Prutus were always made out of copper, and that's why Prutus are not an option to be a viable means of paying the shtar.